Going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, and then run away from it and actually go off hither and thither. 1 Timothy, but it does relate. Chapter 1 and verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, started off, fables are bad. Okay? That's it. You can call them fables, you can call them stories, you can call them lies. Because that's what Paul's talking about here. Then I wanted to get into the biggest fable of them all, as far as I'm concerned. Personal opinion, free will, that man has a free will. And we did a little background on Jacob Arminius last week, who had some real problems with Romans 7 and Romans 9, and in that he is not alone. There are a lot of people that have problems with Romans 9. Because if you listen to them talk, and if they ever actually go there, the first things out of their mouth after they read it is, well, that doesn't mean what it sounds like. Okay? And usually when somebody starts off with that, you're listening to a fable before you get started. It's like, that's the title page, the header. But anyhow, I did in, at least, Arminius didn't think man was born with a free will. He did think that Christ's death gave him a free will, everyone a free will, and that's a fable. That's a lie. It's still foolishness, but it's something. Because right now, and I stated this at the end last week, right now, the false doctrines of free will have become the evolution of religious people. Because people think free will is a fact. This is where they start from, ground level of everything, and every doctrine that they pile on top of it starts right here from free will. And it's wrong. And that's just the way that people are with evolution in school. It's a fact. No, it's not. Scientifically, it doesn't even qualify as a theory. Because in order to be a scientific theory, there has to be the ability to prove it. I can read Webster's Dictionary myself. That's the definition of a theory. It's something that can be proved. Evolution can't be. But it's okay. We accept it as true. Well, they do. Now, if somebody wants to ask the question, how old's the earth? I have no idea in this world. I do not know. And to be perfectly honest about it, I don't care.
I know it.
I don't. I know this book's true. Okay? Now, I've heard stories, about carbon dating and all that stuff, how somebody carbon dated a live cockroach and found out it was 20,000 years old. I don't think the cockroach was 20,000 years old. I don't know if the story's true or not. I'll have to research that on the internet. But it's okay. The earth was without form and void. It doesn't say God created the earth as far as actually made it. It could be older than what I know, than what's recorded in here. And it doesn't change anything that's in here one bit. But anyway, free will is a fact to just about 99% of religious people around the world. It's not a question. Seriously, they don't even have the smidgen of doubt about it. It's sort of like where Abe Lincoln quoted the Bible, all men are created equal. That's not in there either. Free will is a fact. And it's false. And I'm going to tell you just the simple fact that almost everyone believes it is a good reason for believers to doubt it. Because I heard Earl say it up here, the majority pretty much is always wrong. When it comes to religious stuff, when it comes to the truth of God and Christ, it's always wrong. Religion is. It's stated in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And me. It ain't me. It's somebody else. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I know what that means now, because I do remember how I used to think. And it changed, along with a lot of other stuff. But it did change. This is the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, I am not like you. Deal with it. I don't act like you. I don't act like you think I ought to. I'll do what I want. He says that in other places. Jesus Christ does not think the same thoughts as a fallen man, as a natural man. Walter, the natural man doesn't get it. He doesn't get this at all. The natural man does not seek after God. He does not seek after God's thoughts. And he does not seek after God's ways. Because he's got his own. And he's happy with them. He's happy with them. I was perfectly happy the way I was before. I was happier than most people. You can ask people who knew me. I got in touch with some army buddies of mine from 30 years ago online. And we sent pictures back and forth. And I have a picture of me that one of my friends took. And basically it's me acting a fool. And the guy wrote me back, said, "That's the way I remember you." I was laughing. I'm not going to do it here, but I had my tongue stuck out. And I was holding up something that the army considered important, but I didn't. Okay? I was happy. And that's the way the natural man is. He doesn't get it. He's happy. And he's not going to seek after God's ways. Now, another page from Webster's Dictionary. Okay? The word is free will. That's what everybody uses. Free Will Baptist Church. These are the synonyms from Webster's Dictionary online of the word free. Independent, autonomous, sovereign. Sovereign. That's the synonym from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. It says, free stresses the complete absence of external rule and the full right to make all of one's own decisions. You're free to do as you like. Independent implies a standing alone. Applied to a state, it implies lack of connection with any other having power to interfere with its citizens, its laws, or its policies. The colony struggles to become independent. That's why they give it as a name. Autonomous stresses independence in matters pertaining to self-government. I love that they give an example, everyone. The example of this, in this denomination, each congregation is regarded as autonomous. Well, in that way, yes, we are. The word sovereign stresses the absence of a superior power and implies supremacy within a thing's own domain or sphere. According to Webster's Dictionary, a free will is a sovereign will. Nothing can influence it. not God, not devil, not Holy Spirit, not your mama. I'm going to leave it to you to explain that to her, because I ain't getting stepping into that one, because I don't believe it. To be truly free, a man has to be able to do exactly what he wants. In order to have a free will, I have to be able to choose good, to choose evil, to choose neither, to choose God, to choose Satan, to choose Christ, to choose to go to Burger King without any repercussions or any thoughts of anybody else. That's what the word free will means. That's a fable. That's a lie. Paul states this, from which some having swerved, talking about the truth, charity, pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned, some having swerved, that's what happens with fables, and have turned aside unto vain jangling. That's what free will is. He goes on in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say. Isn't it great they want to be teachers? Not always. Not always. I remember a Sunday school teacher at New Zion that was a little strange. Luckily, I never was in his class. But Walter knows him. And he kept getting elected to the post every year, even though everybody knew him. They desire to be teachers. They want to be teachers. They want to be teachers. But they don't know what they're saying. They don't even know what they're saying. Well, some might do, but really they don't. Now that actually should be considered a handicap. Not knowing what you're saying. But in some places, it's not a handicap. It's actually a plus. But Paul continues on, and he states, not only they don't know what they're saying, they don't know what it means. They're saying it anyway, but they have no idea what it means. They don't know that a free will, a sovereign will, is totally without God. Totally without influence, or it's not free. Just like works and grace, it's one or the other. But DJ say you can't have it both ways. It's either free or it's not. Because if it's not, it's not free. If I teach that man is saved by his own free will choice, what does that say about the offering made by Christ to the Father once? The book of Hebrews teaches us that Christ's offer, his offering, perfected everyone that it had sanctified. Now, if Arminius is using that to say, because it does say before that, his offering has sanctified. If he's saying that giving this divine spark or free will to every man is that sanctification by Christ's offering, which is what he's teaching. Christ's offering, the same offering, perfected everyone that sanctified. Every one. Free will teaches that his offering doesn't perfect anyone. It's what you do with it. The Bible teaches that Christ's offering saved his people. It was offered once. It's not offered up here as an invitation at the end of every service. No one's offering Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. That's where he's at, and that's where he's staying until he comes again. The Bible teaches that the heart of man is bad, is evil. Actually, it teaches that it's made of stone. It's kind of like dead. It's kind of like never been alive. The natural man's heart. The heart of the natural man is born dead. And you know what's worse than that? The heart of the natural man is desperately wicked. And deceitful above all things. All things. That's a pretty big, tall order there. Deceitful above all things. Now, why do I bring this up when we're talking about free will? Proverbs states, this is Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way. But the Lord directs his steps. Walter talked about this. And I thought about it again. Joseph's brothers designed and planned and carried out their plan to sell their brother into slavery. And it was an evil, wicked deed. It was bad. It was wrong. All things work together for good, though. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Joseph knew that. He told them. He says, y'all meant it for evil. It's okay. I don't mean I like it, but it's okay. God meant it for good, and good come out of it. And it saved the nation of Israel in a time of drought and starvation. I remember at New Zion, Walter, was it a Sunday evening when all hell broke loose, literally, sort of? I mean, I don't know what else to put it, seriously. There was close to a riot. A fellow was up preaching. And he was actually preaching from John 6, or John, book of John, was John 6. And he was teaching that Christ's people had not been chosen, were not chosen in the past. He was choosing them as they come in. From John 6. And I shook my head. And he went off. I was in the audience. I was just sitting there. But I was listening, that's why I shook my head. No. And he went off, and it was on. And I stood up and stated some things. Walter stood up in support, which I dearly loved and appreciated, and thank God for it. And I mean, I was kind of scared, because I'd never really been up in front of a group, and I wasn't in front. I was still standing, you know, where I was sitting, and it went on, it went back and forth, words were shouted, people said this, people said that. One fellow said, if that's the truth, I'm not saved. And Lord and behold, he left his wife like the next week, he'd already moved his money out of the bank. He was telling the truth. Testify, brother. Because that was true and he wasn't saved. Good Lord. It came out. It came out. But I remember standing there, and I was nervous, I was anxious, I was scared. My legs might have shook a little bit, but I stood there, Walter stood up, and that made my legs stand a little straighter. It did. But I never got mad. I wasn't angry, because these people were accusing me of something. They weren't accusing me of anything. They were denying the truth of Christ. They were wanting their free will. That's a lie. That's exactly it. They're vain janglings, David. That's what they were standing for. Neither knowing what they're saying nor what it means. Because you go what Arminius did in Romans 9, where he says, well, that can't be true because he's not talking about individuals, because that would make God monstrous. That would make God the author of sin. Ain't what God said. God said he takes it out of the same lump and he makes one vessel of honor and one vessel unto dishonor. And he didn't ask you if you liked it. He didn't ask you if you wanted it. I wanted that. They didn't. That place did. Went out the door, and they were angry. Seriously. I wasn't angry, but they were angry. I was disappointed. I swear to God, I was sad. And I did. I went up to shook a fella's hand, you know, just to say goodbye. And, you know, this fella had been awfully friendly to me for the most part. And he turned around, his hand was balled up in a fist. And I put my hand out, and he did open his fist, and we shook hands. I said, I did not mean for this to happen. And I didn't. I did not want to write. I thought these people had some inkling of what I was saying. Walter did. Some others did. That's it. You know, if somebody else kind of knew what we were saying and agreed with it, you know, they stayed. I don't know anything about it. I hope to God some of them are saved. I have no idea. I hope to God he had converted some of them. But I don't know. But they desire to be teachers of the law. And Fred couldn't teach worth a lick. I swear. God. Wednesday, when I got there, this is for free. Wednesday services, they had, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was going to Sunday school. Forgive me. But I was going to Sunday school, and I went on Wednesday night. He was teaching from the book of Ezekiel. It was the awfulest mishmash you ever heard. I didn't understand the word that man was talking about, and I don't think he did either. Earl stood up here, I think, one time and preached, what, 3 or 4 weeks from Ezekiel, just a couple, and that was 10 times better, 100 times better than anything I'd ever heard before. Because that's the only time I ever heard anybody preach from Ezekiel. Because with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit, there are wheels within wheels. Joseph goes down to Egypt in bondage and slavery. He gets accused, and he's up in prison. Gets out, becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. There's a drought, comes, and his brothers come looking for help. There they are talking to him. Thank God for free will. I don't think so. That's called providence. That's from the beginning, you're declaring the end. And the middle, in between. I got to move. A man's heart devises the way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, everyone should know, I don't know if they do, that the steps of a good man, they are ordered of the Lord. That's in a song. I like that. But the Lord directs the steps of every man. According to the scripture, what a man wills to do comes from his heart. That's where it comes from. A man's heart deviseth his way. That's the way he wants to go. That's where his will is leading him. Because the only time you're going to find, I didn't say this, the only time you're going to find free will in the Bible is like 5 or 6 times, whatever it is, 8, I didn't count them. And it's talking about a free will offering in the Old Testament. You can bring your gold freely and we'll make the vessels of the temple out of it. You know? The gold from the ark, for the ark that was gilt, that was a free will offering. That's the only place you will find the word free will in this book. Only place. Never in the New Testament, and never anywhere else other than talking about a free will offering. But what a man wills to do comes from his heart. He devises his way. So now, in point of scripture, that's pretty bad. Because out of a man's heart comes, here's another litany, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's where free will fits right in. Free will fits right in that group. Out of a man's heart comes free will. Evil thoughts, false witness, blasphemies. I didn't say that either. Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ said that. He knew what was in the heart of a man. Wasn't no guessing. Wasn't no surprises. He knew. And he said these things defile the man. Not what goes in, but what comes out. And what comes out is out of the heart. That doesn't sound very free. That doesn't sound very sovereign. It doesn't sound very independent. Scripture says more. Can a man choose to do good? This is God good, not man good, but God good. It's a valid question. Because to choose Christ would be undeniably a good thing. To choose the Lord Jesus Christ is a good thing. So can a man freely choose to change his ways and choose to follow Christ? Or to choose to follow Christ and change his ways, however you want to put it. No. Sorry. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good. Oops. That are accustomed to do evil. So when you can change your skin color, and when the leopard can change his spots, then you can do good. Ain't happened yet. And it's not gonna happen. Man cannot change his nature. Now, I understand that doesn't sound very free, but that's because it's not. Out of the natural man's heart comes evil things, and that's what they are accustomed to do. Now, as Walter stated a few weeks ago, you're not going to do every evil thing you think of. Thank God. Okay? I mean, the world's bad enough as it is. There is such a thing as what my dad and I have talked about. It's called the fear of the cop. Policemen know this. It's called the fear of the cop. The reason a lot of people, not all of them, but a lot of people, are for the most part good, honest citizens. They're afraid of getting caught. That's not very free, is it? They're afraid of getting caught. That's a real thing. It's a little bit of bondage, though, isn't it? The natural man can't do anything good. Nothing. But there are things done, people call good deeds. Okay? Preachers in pulpits across America do talk really well about good deeds. Place great store in them. But God doesn't. God doesn't look at good deeds. He mentions that in Isaiah when he talks about all our righteousnesses. They're filthy rags. Not good. What does God look at? Jeremiah 11:20. But O Lord of hosts, that judgeth righteously, that trieth the reins and the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He's seen the deeds, but he's looking at the heart. But, O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous and seeth the reins and the heart, Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Jeremiah was not a happy camper at this particular moment in time. But he talks about the Lord knowing the reins, seeing the reins and the heart. I used to know a woman who could say something fairly evil. And then she'd turn around and I'd look at her a little funny or something, or say something, which sometimes I have a bad habit of doing. And she'd say, "Well, God knows my heart." And one time I did look at her and I said, "You know, that ought to scare the crap out of you. That ought to scare you. God knows your heart. Christ knew our heart. That's what defiled us. What came out." And the word reins here, I looked it up, is talking about the innermost thoughts, feelings, desires, and purposes of a soul. Sounds kind of like the will. It's not good. The will of man is not good. Because a man's heart governs his will. And the natural man's heart cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man is not equipped. It's not a base feature of the vehicle. It's an option. But it comes from the manufacturer. It comes from God. It doesn't come from a man. Man's will is not free to seek, know, or understand the things of the Spirit of God. Man's will is not free to seek, know, or understand Christ. Man's heart loves darkness rather than light. Man's heart is incapable of being free because it's dead. It's stony. But there is hope. There is light. You know, I never knew I was in darkness until I started seeing light. I thought darkness was the way it was. And that's why people don't know what you're talking about when you talk to them. They don't know. Because all they've ever known is darkness. Even if they're good people, wonderful people, nice, honest citizens. Raise their family good, good to their children, love their wife, love their family, keep their yard neat and tidy, you know. If they don't know Christ, and if he hasn't given them light, they don't know light. All they know is darkness. The scriptures do tell of some that come to him, though. But there's a reason why they come to him. And Walter's been talking about it for the last few weeks. Because God. Well, that's number one, God. Number two, God chose. God chose. Number three, God chose some. He chose some. God chose some to salvation. He didn't choose anybody because of salvation. Well, there's songs out there. They're still writing the Lamb's Book of Life as they go along. If somebody comes in, they're writing the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't know where they get this stuff from. I swear I don't. Well, I do. It comes out of their heart. It comes out of darkness. God chose some to salvation. Christ calls them by name to the salvation he has chosen them for. And they come willingly. Willingly. God's chosen people come to Christ willingly. Now, I just spent all that time talking about how the natural man can't come of his own free will. Well, I just said they come willingly. I didn't say they come of their own free will. And they do come, and they do come willingly. How can this be? Christ changed your will. Christ can change your will. It's not free. Your will is not free. It is not uninfluenced or uninfluenceable. If you want to throw a word out, if that is a word. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. The Lord said to my Lord, said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. But he does. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Those are the words of the Lord. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. God's people shall be willing. And it's not in the day of their free will. Now, is it in the day when they're not too dumb to know a good thing when they see it? Sorta. It's in the day of His power. His power. His power. His power. His choice. His salvation, His power, His people, me. I get to be number five. His people be willing in the day of His power. There's your free will. As far as I'm concerned, Arminius can choke on it. He's dead and he knows better now. Christ gives life. And see, that's something else they don't understand. Free will is regeneration. That life, in 1 Peter 1 and 2, is talking of, I believe, it's called the sanctification of the Spirit, which is unto obedience. Everywhere you go, just about anywhere around here, swear to God, anywhere in America, they think obedience is unto sanctification of the Spirit. They got the cart before the horse. They got it backwards. God has to do something for you before you'll obey. And you will. You'll obey. Christ did call some by name. And he's still calling them by name. And he stated in Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And if you're laboring, if you're heavy laden, you'll come. If you're not laboring and you're not heavy laden, you're still in darkness. And you don't know what the light is. See, we were in what? The kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's a new thing. But it's an old thing. And it ain't never been any different. And it never will be any different. Until He comes. Then shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm not too worried about what happens after that. Because once I'm with Him, I think everything's going to be pretty much taken care of. He'll say, go do something. I'll say, yes, sir. I had a problem with that in the army sometimes. I don't have a problem with that with God, with Christ. I don't think I have a problem with it hereafter. But there's a time coming. He's coming. And then they're going to cry out of their own free will, let the rocks and mountains fall on us, please, to hide us from Him who's coming. Because their free will, such as it is, which is none, their will is not to see him. They don't want to see him now, and they're not going to want to see him later. And that's what free will is about. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time. And we ask for your blessings this day and every day as we go forth into this world, which is full of lies and blasphemies and heresies and errors and people who love them. And we ask for the strength to stand in your truth, in your will, in your way, and we ask that you show it to us in Christ's name.